Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. I hope that your week has been amazing thus far. Today, I want to help you answer the question, do you really need a Christian therapist? There's so much information out there on mental health, and while I'm excited that people are getting more and more familiar and comfortable with promoting mental health, I also want to make sure that the public is getting the right information, right? So there's a lot of inspirational material out there, but you do have to also filter some of that inspirational material and find out if it's true, is it ethical, and if it's a good fit for you. And in our push to promote mental wellness, there's also a push for the church to be more aware and more involved in mental health awareness and treatment. And so I wanted to use this episode to give you some information and to answer some questions about going to therapy. I know that a lot of Christians already struggle with answering the question of whether or not they need or want therapy. But then there's also this extra hurdle of figuring out who to go to. So I thought I would use this episode to answer some questions and clear up some things for you and then give you some things to think about as you are making your decision. I have already created an episode about how to prepare for individual therapy, so I will definitely make sure to link that in the show notes. But this episode in particular will help you answer the question about, do you really need a Christian therapist? Before we jump in, I want to give you a reminder to rate the show, to subscribe, to leave us a review. Thank you for those who have already done so formally. And thank you for those who have done so informally by contacting me via text or email or word of mouth. But please don't forget to do so formally through one of the platforms that you listen to the show. And also, if this information has been helpful to you, don't forget to share it on your social media pages and don't forget to share it with some of your friends. All right, so let's jump in. When I think about answering this question, part of it comes from my experience with people who talk to me, who come to my office, who are frustrated with their church pastor, or they're frustrated with their small group or life group ministry. And I think when I talk to them more about where their frustrations lie, I think it's because they have gone to those places actually expecting what we call clinical counseling, or they're looking for professional Christian counseling. And so let's start this episode out by clarifying some of the different roles that people have. I think that's a really great place to start because that will then help you manage your expectations and know what each person's role is for the most part and what you can expect from them and what they expect from you. The first group is more along the lines of mentorship and discipleship. And this is where you're walking together either individually with someone or it can be with another couple if you're in a relationship. You're walking together for a set period of time for the purpose of edification and Christian education. And you're learning how to do life together. You're learning how to practically apply spiritual principles. And this is done usually by going on outings, making phone calls to one another, reading books and then discussing, praying together, both people or both couples sharing their personal experiences and things like that. But this is typically done on a time-limited basis. Okay, so that's the mentorship or discipleship piece. Then you also have pastoral care. Sometimes this is done directly by the lead pastor of the church, or if it's one of the larger churches, they may have pastors and other ministers specifically assigned to this aspect of ministry. And these are people who typically are educated in religious studies, divinity, or pastoral studies. Now, I do want to make sure that I state this very clearly. Some pastors are also licensed mental health providers, okay? So I'm not including them in this category for pastoral care, right? Because sometimes they have to wear both hats. Sometimes they are specifically in pastoral care, and sometimes they are working under their state regulated license. So I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people who are ministers and pastors, but who are not licensed mental health providers. Pastoral care typically involves helping you to work through issues of life, helping you by encouraging you, helping you to interpret and implement scripture in your life. So you might see pastoral care if you're going through grief in your life, whether you've lost someone, whether you or someone you love have been diagnosed with a terminal illness. They might show up on hospital visits when we were able to do a lot more hospital visits before COVID-19, but they also offer some informal home visits, or you might meet with them at the church, right? And your meetings with a pastor for pastoral care may not have a particular structure or framework, right? But it's typically guided by your need. It's typically guided by the Holy Spirit of what the pastor believes that God wants to say to you through him or her, right? The goal there is to help you be encouraged and help you to gain spiritual insight. But typically, these are just a few informal sessions. And then if you need more sessions, typically the pastor will refer you out for more long-term care if you need it. So that's where I think some people get frustrated, because they're going to their pastor and they're expecting more clinical counseling, right? So what actually is a clinical mental health provider? These are people who have a variety of licenses. So these are your psychologists, these are your psychiatrists, your counselors, your professional counselors, your clinical social workers, your licensed marriage and family therapists. So when you look online or they present themselves or you go to their office, you are going to see some credentials behind their names like PhD, you might see PsyD, you might see LMFT, you might see LPC, you might see LCSW, things like that. These are providers who have at least a master's level of education, and they are licensed in their state, and their license is regulated by state and national boards, okay? Licensed mental health providers are equipped to help you sort through your concerns, identify your symptoms, and help to diagnose and actually treat mental illness. Now, within the licensed mental health profession, there are a variety of options. You might have what most people think of as secular counselors, and these are people who don't necessarily identify with a particular religion, and they also may not incorporate that into their work. Okay, and I think this is the category that most people who are Christian counselors or biblical counselors or people who are just maybe unfamiliar with professional mental health, I think sometimes they see it as an either or, And they automatically assume that if you don't go to a biblical counselor, that you're going to someone who is against your Christian principle, someone who is going to talk you out of, quote unquote, what is the right thing to do according to the Word of God. So one option is people who don't necessarily incorporate religion or spirituality into their work at all. Another option within the licensed mental health profession are those who do identify as Christian, but it's not something that they advertise. It's not something that they use in their marketing strategy, and it's not necessarily integrated into their treatment plan. Okay, and then you do have those, like myself, who do identify as a Christian, but also use it in their advertising. That means that for those who do want to incorporate specific things about spirituality into their work, people are told this information up front that this is an option. So if you're specifically looking for someone who is a Christian and who also is equipped to incorporate those things into your treatment plan, those are the kinds of people who you might see as a Christian counselor, a Christian psychologist, a Christian therapist, okay? So as you can see, even within the licensed mental health providers, there are some options, and it still can be confusing when you're trying to figure out, who do I need to go to? Now, we've talked about the licensed mental health providers who may be Christian counselors, but we haven't yet talked about the biblical counselors. And these are people who may or may not be ordained ministers, or they may not be on staff at a church, but these are people who have typically taken some form of training and certification in biblical counseling. Okay, now when I say certification, it does not mean that they are licensed by a particular state board or other type of governing body, but there are some certification programs, and I'll also be sure to link that information in the show notes so that way you can maybe take a closer look at what some of their training might be in general. Okay, but when we look at biblical counselors, these providers use the Bible as the ultimate authority over our problems. Okay, some people who are biblical counselors argue that psychology and other mental health specialties are not effective because they are too focused on other types of theories. They're too focused on other types of explanations for what the presenting concern is. According to Bible counselors, most problems are a result of sin, okay? And so their focus in therapy is helping you to actually get to the root of the problem. Some critics of psychology and other mental health specialties is that we focus too much on symptoms and helping people to feel good and do what makes them happy, when their main point is that maybe what makes them happy is sinful, and that is the root issue that needs to be addressed. So their focus is on helping you to get yourself back in right standing with God and grow closer to Him, right? And so you might focus on things like repentance. You might focus on things like forgiveness, and what does sanctification need to look like in your life? Looking at sexual sins, looking at how do we make sense of trials and suffering, okay? So adding that into our framework for Christian counselors, I think it's really important that I made this distinction, because I think sometimes when people say, oh, I'm looking for a Christian therapist, oh, I have a Christian counselor, as you can see, that could mean anything and that could mean anybody, right? If I'm a Christian and I've made that decision that I do need some assistance, now I have to figure out, who do I want to go to? Let me give you some questions that you can ask yourself that I think will help you in making the determination for what you need. Okay? One of the first questions that you want to ask yourself is, what are my concerns? And answering this question will help you decide not only what kind or type of provider you need, but how that particular provider will address your issue. Maybe you're in a place where you might say, I'm not sure I believe in God anymore. I'm not sure that God has really forgiven me. Is God mad at me because I got divorced or because I had an abortion? Is this situation that I'm in a consequence to some sort of sin? Those are very different types of issues and questions than if I find myself crying all the time or I'm really anxious. I'm so anxious I can hardly sleep. It's affecting my appetite. It's affecting my concentration. And it's really getting in the way of the quality of life that I want to live. So do you see how different questions and different issues that I have might actually help me decide what type of provider that I need? And also, when you think about certain issues, it is important to know that some biblical or Christian counselors will not touch certain issues. For example, handling affairs, the way that an affair is handled. Certain Christian counselors might come from an approach that has only one specific outcome, right? Some approaches, some Christian counselors might come from it where you're able to talk through and see what the best options are for you based on your needs and based on your values, right? Sometimes there are also other issues that Christian counselors may not touch, or if they do touch, again, they have a set standard on the issue. Sometimes there is a direct right or wrong. So if you are going to consider divorce, or if you are divorced and let's say you're considering remarrying, or let's say you are in a blended family because of a divorce, or let's say there might be some sexual dysfunction, right? So it really just depends on what the issue is and really think through how each type of provider that I've given you, how they might address your concerns. And you may not even know the answer to all of this right up front. This is why you should be able to write some questions down and ask the provider when you talk to him or her over the phone, or when you all have that first meeting. Go in with your questions and ask him or her about how they specifically see your issue and how they might be able to help you work through it. And an ethical person, whether they are a biblical counselor or a lay counselor or a pastor or a licensed mental health professional, it's really important that everybody understands their scope of practice. And what I mean by that is I really find it very pleasing when a licensed mental health professional is working with someone and the issues start to go in an area where you feel like it's really outside of your area of expertise. And so this is the reason why it's important that we all work together. And so you're able to say, you know what? I hear you and I appreciate the questions and the thoughtfulness of what we're talking about today. I'm wondering if maybe your pastor might be the best person to help you work through some of these issues. And then on the other end, you might have someone to say, you know what? I am not sure that the kind of care or counseling that I'm giving you is what you need. Here are some referrals or here are some resources for a licensed mental health professional. So all I'm trying to say is start by asking yourself, what are my concerns? The second question you ask yourself is, what are my goals, right? What kind of outcomes am I specifically looking for by going to counseling, by embarking upon this journey with a Christian counselor? Maybe you are in a place where you want to learn how to change your thinking to better manage your mood. Maybe you want to work through infidelity in your marriage. Or maybe you are realizing that, hey, I have some sexual trauma in my past and it's impacting the way I am intimate with my spouse. Or maybe you're just in a place where you say, I feel like I'm okay. I just want someone to pray with me every now and then and help me to understand scripture and how I can apply it to my everyday life. Okay, so you see those examples are very different goals. Okay, you're going to approach those things in a counseling session very differently. And once you know or have an idea of what your goals are, the Christian counselor will be able to help you modify those goals as needed, okay? Or they'll help you be able to clarify those goals, because sometimes goals can be vague. And again, this is where the other podcast episode that I did on how to prepare for therapy, this is where that episode would really help you to be able to look at some of those areas. A third question that you want to ask yourself is, what level of competence do I need to be able to adequately address my concerns and my goals? You want to consider things like level of education and clinical experience. You want to look at area of specialty. What's this person's scope of practice? Okay. Are they available for consistent meetings? So if I am a person who I just want to grow in the Lord and I just really want to make sure that I'm doing all that God asks me to do. I just want to grow spiritually and want to be able to look at some scriptures, right? One can argue that clinically, as long as nothing else clinically is going on, you may not need to meet weekly. But what if that is a personal desire of yours? Okay, so that might be something where you may not need a clinical Christian counselor for that. Okay, but on the flip side of that, let's say maybe you're currently trying to work through some job stress. You're also undergoing some stress in your relationship. You're having some stress with your family members. You're just not in a good place interpersonally, or you may not be in a good place emotionally, and you need some support on a weekly basis. But what if maybe your church pastor is busy, and even if he or she wants to, they may not be able to have that dedicated time to give you the frequent sessions that you need or the depth of the sessions that you need, okay? So you also want to look at availability for consistent meetings. Part of assessing competence is finding out whether the Christian counselor has any biases or unhelpful approaches to counseling. One of the main reasons why therapy works so well is because of objectivity. And objectivity is a major factor in therapy because it allows for the therapist to see you in the room. It allows for the therapist to listen to your story. It allows for the therapist to remove as much as possible their personal feelings, remove their personal experiences and their judgments and their interpretations of things based on their personal background, right? And so I find that this is something that's often overlooked on the front end, but then it's later realized in the Christian counseling context, especially when it comes to someone who may not be formally trained in Christian counseling. Is people come in and they'll say that their counselor took sides. And it's not necessarily only in couples counseling, in a couples counseling context. It could be even in individual therapy where you're coming in and you're talking about something maybe that you experienced with your mom or a situation that you had with your son or your coworker or something like that. And that person, if they are not formally trained, they may struggle with being objective. Sometimes they might also misconstrue scripture, okay? If they have not been formally trained on how to interpret the scriptures and how they are applied, then that can actually be more harmful than helpful to you, okay? Sometimes it might show up in terms of gender role expectations. One of the major complaints that I've also heard about Christian counselors is that Christian counselors might actually have a preconceived idea about what men do, what women should and shouldn't do, right? What daughters are supposed to do, what sons are supposed to do, the role of a wife, okay? And so these are the kinds of things that you want to look at when you're looking at level of competence. It's not to say that your therapist should not have any personal judgments, or your Christian counselor should not have any biases. We all have them, right? The goal is for your Christian counselor to be able to focus on you, get to know you, get to know your understanding of Christianity, get to know what your relationship is like with God. How does God speak to you? How does the Holy Spirit minister to you? It's not supposed to be this power differential where you go to someone and it's basically like one-on-one preaching. That's not what Christian counseling should be. Okay, you're never supposed to subject yourself to being abused spiritually. Okay, your behavior, your thoughts, your actions, your decisions should not be judged harshly. Okay, the goal of Christian counseling is to help you to be able to identify what your issues are and use your faith to be able to have a different perspective and look through a different lens at what your issues are, okay? But again, it just really depends on what your goals are and what your needs are. If you want that to be the sole approach, then a biblical counselor may be the way to go. If you would like for someone, or if you need someone to be able to integrate your faith and your spirituality into a different type of approach and maybe pull from other theories and therapies and coping strategies and skills and tools and things like that, then maybe a more integrative Christian counseling approach would be more helpful. Okay. So I hope these questions and these definitions would clarify some things for you. I know that it is difficult to make the decision to even take that first step of going to counseling. And it's especially difficult to try to figure out what kind of therapist you need to go to if you're a Christian. Okay? Do your research. Ask questions when you meet with this person for the first time, and even if you're already seeing a therapist. Okay? Because sometimes people make the assumption that just because your counselor has never said openly that they are a Christian, or just because your counselor may have even disclosed to you that they are an atheist, that it's not okay for you to bring up your religion and your spirituality in therapy. And that is not the case. The therapy is about you, and licensed mental health professionals have an ethical responsibility to be culturally sensitive. Okay? And I think people find it really strange, so to speak, when they find out that I, as a Christian psychologist, I've treated atheists, I've treated people who identify as agnostic, I've treated people who are Muslim, I've even treated people who are Christians and per se doing things that are, I guess, quote unquote, wrong according to the Bible. Right. So my Christian faith helps me to be able to use the fruit of the Spirit to be able to love all of God's people. OK, again, the goal for me in Christian therapy is not to be able to tell you the right thing to do. OK, it's not to tell you that you're wrong about how you think, or tell you that you're wrong about the behaviors that you engage in. It's to be able to help you to be able to live the life that you believe God wants you to live, and be able to help you decide what's right or wrong for you between you and your relationship with God. It's just a conversation. Christian counseling is just a conversation, just the same way as what we would consider to be secular counseling. I don't have any specific questions today for our Dr. Q's Couch segment, so we will move right into our prayer time. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity for us to connect on this podcast episode. I pray for every listener who has joined us online today. I pray that there was something that I've said that will shine light and be able to clarify some issues and some questions that they may have about deciding about the type of counselor that they need. I pray that you would give them clarity and boldness if they are already in counseling with someone. I pray that you would give them the understanding and the boldness to be able to talk about their spirituality and to be able to ask their mental health provider or their pastor or their spiritual leader those tough questions and be able to make a change of course if that is necessary. And most of all, Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit for being our counselor, helping to guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. And it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, that is our episode for today. I hope that this episode was helpful to you. Don't forget to check out the other episode on how to prepare for individual therapy. I will also put the link for the episode on how to prepare for couples therapy. Until next time, take care.